Greetings, saints. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, in the name of Jesus, please bless us today. Give us discernment, understanding of things to come so we can cooperate with you. For how can two walk together except they be agreed? So thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to study Man-Child Reformers, Deliver the Chosen. And the first revelation I want to share with you was given to Isaac Payne, 4:24-23. And he called it Felling the Idolatry of the Harlot. Amen. I believe Isaac in this dream is representing the promised seed of Jesus. In the man-child reformers who will come to set his elect free from apostate Christianity. Thank you, Father, just as Jesus did. Amen. So Isaac said, in this dream, it was night outside, and I was surrounded by wilderness. I believe that's representing the darkness of tribulation. I was standing in a house on top of a mound near the embankment. And I believe this is representing the hill of Zion, the bride. There was a muddy pit below that was surrounded on all sides by this embankment, and it looked like an empty lake bed. The muddy pit represents the muddy waters and doctrines of the false shepherds in the apostate religious system. He said, I heard a commotion and I saw two women that were arguing. Well, I believe, as we will see, that those who are elect of God in the religious apostate system will fall out of agreement with the harlot. It's just as they did in Jesus' day. One of the women was my Aunt Stacy, and the other was a woman from my school days that had a bad reputation. In this dream, he says, she represents the harlot apostate church. The name Stacy means resurrection and fruitful. So there's the two women right there. He says, I believe Stacy represents those who will be truly resurrected through repentance into the true image of Christ as they come out of apostasy. Yes, indeed. He said the harlot and my Aunt Stacy were arguing outside the house on top of the mound. Well, those in apostasy are outside of the house on Mount Zion, the bride. And this is where the argument is taking place. Of course, the apostates always argue against the bride, but the bride has direction from the Lord, guidance from the Lord, upbringing from the Lord. My Aunt Stacy was mad and complaining to me about the harlot not being a team player and trying to keep the church in the pit, as we will see. Well, he said, I believe that they were arguing about people being stuck in the bottom of this lake and not getting to the top of the embankment, which, as we've seen, represents Mount Zion, the bride. Our trip should be, let's go up to Zion. See, that's where we're going. That's the place of maturity and overcoming. At this point, the harlot jumped into the lake pit. The pit was muddy, filthy, and slippery, as false religion is. While looking below, I saw many people who seemed that they were camped out and living in this pit. One was my uncle, who is married to my Aunt Stacy. His name is Virgil. Virgil means flourishing or staff bearer. I think he represents those who will learn after the first fruits to manifest the hundredfold fruit of Christ in them. Ezekiel 34:17 through 24 says this. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have fed upon the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture? And to have drunk of the clear waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet? Meaning, of course, their actions and their lifestyle and the thing that they set a precedent for is corrupt. They read the true word, but they walk corruptly. That doesn't mean they understand the true word. It just means they read it. And as for my sheep, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet. And they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. In other words, if it's okay for the pastor, certainly it's okay for us. You know, we should follow in his steps, right? No. Therefore, thus saith the Lord unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. That's those that have more flesh and those that have less flesh. Because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder and push all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall be no more be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. And that's the man-child ministry coming right there. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Well, David was king over and on Mount Zion. And this is the type that's being fulfilled in these coming days, the restoration of the kingdom. It seemed that these people were looking for a way out of the pit. However, the harlot was dancing around, being obnoxious and distracting everyone from climbing out. The harlot was preventing the people living in this pit from coming together in unity to find a way out. Well, we thought of Psalm 40, 1 and 2. It says, a psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock and established my goings. Amen. You can't lead people where you haven't been, right? Kind of like Moses went through the wilderness and then went back for the people of God to bring them through the wilderness, right? He knew the way. Okay. There are people that know the way, and there's a lot of people over God's people that don't know the way, and they're going to find that out. Ephesians 4:11 through 13, and he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, amen. And this is the opposite of the Nicolaitan error that is in the churches that God said he hates so much. They put a priesthood over the people of God, which is illegal, you know. Instead, God chooses this company of experts here. And they are for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up. Coming up out of the pit unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we are to be growing up into his image. Some people say it's impossible. Not when he's got the power and he's bringing it to pass and it, for everyone that believes it. All right? It's just, we have to believe what the Bible says over and above what the dead religions say. There was much commotion, confusion, distraction, and desperation in the pit, and the culprit was the harlot's distractions and her dancing around the masses in the pit. Well, the harlot's witchcraft keeps her victims in confusion. They have to do a lot of dancing around to keep their doctrine appear plausible, because any kind of a decent examination with the scriptures proves it's phony. So they do a lot of dancing around like that. While standing on the embankment, I looked to the left and noticed a large fir tree standing on the west side of the embankment. Well, the fir tree represents idolatry, yes, and in the scriptures too. And this represents the idolatry of the harlot and the masses that have been deceived. Yes. Now, God told Gideon that he would save Israel by his hand, and his first order to him included cutting down the Asherah, which was a fir tree. Judges 6:25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's bullock, even the second bullock, 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal, which is the false Jesus, that thy father hath, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. And also Jeremiah 10:2-8. Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the way of the nations, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vanity, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fashion it with nails and with hammers. All this was passed down to us through one of the mother harlot, let me say, of a lot of the religions today, okay? And they're still celebrating this foolishness today. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are like a palm tree of turned work. Yes, they look like a perfect tree, but they're just not. They're perfect idolatry. And speak not, they must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. There is none like unto thee, O Lord. Thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who should not fear thee, O King of the nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their royal estate, there is none like unto thee. Yes, so we need to be looking at the Lord, and his word reveals him to us. Not all this garbage that was passed down to us from the mother harlot through the daughter harlots, right? But they are together brutish and foolish, and the instruction of idols, it is but a stock. Yep, it's a piece of wood. It seemed like the tree was growing on the west side on top of a dam. The west side represents the left. The sun, SUN/SON, sets in the west. Thus the tree of idolatry was preventing the light of the sun, SUN/SON, from resting on the people in the pit. I believe the dam is a play on word damned, and also those in the pit, when the dam is broken, will be flooded with God's judgments upon the world. In other words, hell on earth, right? So this tree cast quite a bit of shade on the people that were in the pit, representing blocking the sun, SUN/SON. Also, the shade represents spiritual darkness of idolatry. Yes, indeed. And I thought of John 1:1-13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. You know what the light is? The light is the word of God, right? This is the life of men. And we know the word says, the sum of thy word is truth. You can't pick and choose verses. It has to all fit together. And the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness, that is of the harlot, apprehended it not. In verse 9, there was the true light, even the light which lighteth every man coming into the world. Well, how could that be? Well, that's because your conscience was given to you as a light. It was given to every man, but was defiled. People immediately, because of the flesh, went against their conscience and defiled it. And it got quieter and quieter and quieter, right? Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. Well, we know that was true about Jesus, and it's still true about Jesus today. Because he that receiveth you receiveth me, he said. And they don't receive those who come into his image. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's his nature, character, and authority. That's what the word name in the New Testament means. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. You know, they claim some people are born again just because they shake a preacher's hand, or they, make one confession of faith and continue on with their old slimy life. Well, no. Born of God is born of God. The baby looks like the father. Suddenly, the tree just fell over on top of the people. However, the tree was in everyone's way and blocking out even more sunlight. Of course, idolatry blocks us from seeing the light and hearing clearly from the Lord. And when we have idols in our hearts, it blocks true relationship with the Lord. The tree was resting on a utility all-terrain vehicle. Representing their journey through the wilderness tribulation. However, they don't think they're going to go there. There was still much commotion and desperation in the pit. I believe the utility all-terrain vehicle represents the people's idolatry with their own works of self-justification. And that's, of course, through the doctrines of men. You know, because you believe this, you're okay. You're one of us, right? That's bad. Thus preventing them from having the grace of God. This is true. And he gives Galatians 5, 1 through 4. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you receive circumcision, or you could put a lot of other things in there, but in this one in particular, if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision that he's a debtor to do the whole law. See, some people are justified by other parts of the law. We do this, so we're the group, you know. We're the insiders, you know. He said, you're severed from Christ. You would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace. And I want to say that this includes the laws of men, the rules and regulations of religion. Amen. At this point, I noticed my dad was standing next to me, representing the Heavenly Father. My dad was wearing a red hat that he always wore while I was growing up. In real life, my dad passed away in 2005. However, for years and years, he wore a red hat that said, Jesus Saves. In the dream, I didn't see the words, but I remember the red hat, and I actually saved that hat and still have it today. I believe my dad in this dream represents my Heavenly Father. Yes, indeed. My dad told me we could cut that fir tree up with the chainsaw. Sounds familiar? That we had. At first, I was reluctant, not because I didn't want to use the chainsaw and cut up the tree, but it was because I didn't want all the attention and everyone watching me, but I knew I was given the tool to do the job. Well, remember that Gideon cut down the fir tree at nighttime. He didn't want to be seen. He was found out, though, and he had to confess, right? I was in agreement with my dad and said, bring me the steel chainsaw. My dad handed me a T-handle steel MS-379. The T-handle means top handle in the physical for the chainsaw. However, spiritually, it represents the cross that we lay hold on and bear. And he gives Luke 14:27. Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. My dad's occupation was a tree trimmer. He owned his own business for many years, cutting down trees. Well, that reminds us of John 15:1-2. And I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. And Luke 13:7 says, and he said unto the vine dresser, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why doth it cumber the ground? And he said steel is a play on words for steel, S-T-E-E-L. And I think it represents Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man, or the Son of Man, Jesus, sharpeneth the countenance, or the image of Christ, of his friend. So this is saying that our friend, Jesus, the Word made flesh, sharpens us. Amen. And also the chainsaw represents the sword of the Word that we use to fell idolatrous doctrines that keep people in apostasy. Amen. Okay, John 1:14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Referring to Proverbs 27:17 above, right? For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. And he says all steel brand chainsaw have a model number, for example, MS, and numbers afterward. The numbers that correspond after the MS are indicative of the output horsepower. To calculate the output horsepower, you would divide the model number by 100. I believe the 100 represents the 100-fold output power of Christ in you. However, the model number of this chainsaw that my Heavenly Father gave me was 379. Mariana told me that this might represent chapter 37 and verse 9. She said this without even looking into it, and I believe the Lord was speaking through her. Psalm 37 and 9. For evildoers shall be cut off. Remember that, you're going to hear a lot of it. But those that wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. Yes, indeed. Evildoers will be cut off. What a perfectly constructed verse that Father put together. All of Psalm 37 is an awesome promise of preservation of his people from idolatry of the enemy and the judgment that is coming upon the world. So listen to it. Psalm 37, 1 through 40. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against them that work unrighteousness, for they shall soon be cut down, there it is, like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, and the land, of course, is the land of promise. And the promises, when you stand on those promises, you get them, right? And you're walking holy when you're standing on those promises. So dwell in the land of promise and feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Amen. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself, it tends only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off. There it is again. But those that wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, because they were cut off. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the land, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord will laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous hath than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Good promise for the coming days, I tell you. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume in smoke, and shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth, and I might say often stealeth, and payeth not again, but the righteous dealeth graciously and giveth. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the land, and they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. A man's goings are established of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All the day long he dealeth graciously and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth justice, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous talketh of wisdom, and his tongue speaketh justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait for the Lord, and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. Yes, we've been seeing that especially well in these last days, right? But one passeth by, and lo, he was not. Well, I believe it's coming to that time. Yes, indeed. And I want to say wickedness passes over all lines and all religions. So if you're patriotic, or if you're prejudiced for one particular religion, just remember it's corrupt too. All of them in Jesus' day were corrupt. All of the religions. All of them. Yea, and the things that have been and the things that shall be. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for there is a happy end to the man of peace. As for transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be, you guessed it, cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helpeth them and rescueth them. He rescueth them from the wicked and saveth them, because they have taken refuge in him. Amen. So let's get back to the dream here. I took the chainsaw with me and began to walk down into the pit to cut this tree into pieces that was overshadowing the people. And again, I believe he represents the man-child ministry. That's what Jesus did. Jesus cut it to pieces too. I pulled on the crankshaft of the chainsaw and it started right up. The people were watching me, and I remember thinking that this chainsaw didn't sound too aggressive, and I was a bit worried about the power of it to cut through a thick log. Granted, it's a fir tree, which is usually soft wood. However, this tree did not look soft. It wasn't a massive chainsaw, and the bar, I think, was around 14 inches. And he says the number 14 has meaning for deliverance and salvation. Also in Matthew, there are 14 generations mentioned three times. Yeah, Matthew 1:17. So all the generations from Abraham unto David were 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away to Babylon 14 generations, and from the carrying away to Babylon unto the Christ 14 generations. And we are the seed of Christ of the third, 14th generation. Amen. The crowd was watching me, and at this point I wasn't shy. I began to cut the log, and the chainsaw just chewed the tree in pieces. Within a second or two, the chainsaw was slicing right through the large fir tree trunk. The chainsaw was so powerful that while I was slicing through the tree, I ended up slicing through the utility all-terrain vehicle's frame that the people had in the pit. And he said, this represents destroying the works of self-justification. Yeah. Well, they're Their self-justification of idolatry will not make it through the wilderness tribulation by the all-terrain vehicle, because it got, cut off. So he went on to say, the steel MS-379 sliced right through the metal frame of the utility terrain vehicle. I was very impressed with its performance. And then I woke up. Well, Father is going to use his modern-day Josiah man-child reformers to tear down the idolatry of the modern religious apostate system. They don't reflect anything that the Scripture points out. And we never have a right to depart from the Scriptures, even when they say we have departed from the Scriptures. Oh, that doesn't happen in these days. God won't do that today. And no, it's not that way today, and so on and so forth. Well, we're going to call this one, Don't Let the Apostates Distract You from Your Race. This was given to Claire Pinar, 4:29-23. During the day before this dream, I was being attacked on every front. The enemy seemed to walk with me throughout the day, and I, by the grace of God, chose to walk with Jesus instead. Some telltale things were happening, scenarios of impatience, frustration, poor behavior from my children due to self-righteousness and pride, and some interactions with people who have caused me great angst in the past. And I got through the gauntlet that the Lord had set before me. As Job was protected, so was I, and I had this dream to confirm it. The Lord will continue to send trials, even when we've had huge deliverances in areas, or we've overcome a specific thing for years. He does it to test us, refine us, and to keep us humble, lest we glory in ourselves and make void the sacrifice of Jesus. I dreamed I was at an international running race in a city like Washington, D.C., but it was at night. An international running race represents the corporate body of Christ all around the world who are in a race to get out of the darkness of Washington, D.C., which represents apostate leadership. And Hebrews 12:1, therefore let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. She said, many of us were gathered together in a very small hotel rooms, and we were waiting to be called out. Yeah. Isaiah 5:8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no room, and you be made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. Yeah. Denominations are divisions. You know, you have to perform the way they want, or you can't be in one of their denominations. You can't, are not allowed to grow at your own rate and read your Bible and come to more and more truth. Because they will tell you what the truth is, and you better stick with it. There were two events going on. In one event, we were waiting for David and Michael to fetch us. And I believe this represents the man-child ministry is going to bring the church out of apostate leadership. And another event was partaking in the worldly events of running around the city on a running track in different age groups. Well, everyone in the apostate church system is running around in circles and will not arrive at the destination. You can't if you're running around in circles. And the destination is Christlikeness. And they don't believe that. David knocked on the door, and when I opened for him, he was wearing a red shirt, and Michael was behind him wearing a white shirt. Rion said, representing the anointing of the blood of Christ on the man-child ministry and God's perfect works of faith and sanctification of the white shirt. Amen. They were encouraging some to wait it out, but they took me, put their hands on my shoulders, and said, "You are coming with us now." So, yes, there are some that are going to wait it out. Their time is not yet. The tribulation will impress them with the fear of God. They will decide that the Word of God is correct, and then it will be time for them to come out. And when he said, "You are coming with us now," that represents the elect of God. They were chosen, right? I was so grateful. And Rion said, each of God's elect will be called out at the right time by the Father. True. But apparently there was one final race to run, and I had to run with Sarah Marie. And Rion said, meaning Princess of Darkness. Matthew 13 and 30 says, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So they both grew together. They were racing together. Okay. She was wearing a black 1950s dress. In other words, living in darkness, right? With white polka dots on it. And this makes me think of the mind control colors of black and white from MK Ultra, etc. So, of course, many who are stuck in apostasy are under the deception of false doctrines, right? It's delusion. We started the race, and she kept on going off the track. Well, that's natural for them. You know, this disqualifies you when you get off the narrow road. She was distracted, uninterested, lazy, and had a bad attitude. I, on the other hand, was chipper, vibrant, and smiley, ready to get this race behind me and move on. I spent so much time trying to get Sarah Marie back on the track that I seemed to miss my race entirely. Well, that's a story right there, a parable in itself. It reminded me of Matthew 25, 1 through 13. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. And a lot of them are not, and they don't believe in it. "Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there's a cry, 'Behold the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Peradventure there will not be enough for us and you.' So you can't take their load upon yourself. They've got to go get filled themselves, right? 'Peradventure there will not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.'" "I started running on my own," there you go, "without her. I knew more or less where the finish line was, and I just ran in that direction. I passed so many people, but I knew I was still coming in last." You get distracted with these people that don't want to go on, just go on. And Rion said, The distractions cause us to lose focus of the race set before us and also make us trust in our own strength. Other races were already being run, and the current race was with young men who were almost pro athletes. I did not want to cross the finish line at the same time as them, because I wanted everyone to see them and not me, lagging behind. I waited until I knew I could do the last leg of the race without interrupting their race, and I sprinted. It was so hard. Sarah Marie appeared and told me to walk. I got so irritated with her and just ran past her. Okay. Rion said, praise God, run past those distractions. Amen. And those that just want to drag you off on the side, get you off of the road, and so on and so forth. And he gave 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Know ye not that they that run in a race and run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run, that you may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, as not uncertainly. So fight I, as not beating the air. But I buffet my body, and I bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. So it's discipline, disciplining your body, making it follow your spirit man. Amen. I ran through a tunnel that had bars or pubs on either side with people drinking. The people watched me and made fun of me, but I didn't care. I finally finished and received a medal. Now I could go with David and Michael. Amen. And Rion said, 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never stumble. Well, amen. And the people drinking on the side, this is the drunkenness that the Bible talks about. It's not necessarily physical drunkenness. It's being irrational. It's not paying attention to things that count. It's a spiritual drunkenness, on the things of the world and the ways of the world and the distractions of the world. Amen. I received by faith at random Isaiah 22:17, in context 22:15-25. Thus saith the Lord, the Lord of hosts, go, get thee unto this treasurer, even to Shebna, who is over the house, and say, what doest thou here, and whom hast thou here, that thou hast hewed thee out here a sepulchre? Hewing him out a sepulchre on high, graving a habitation for himself in the rock. You know, a lot of people think that they are in the rock, right? And they're not. But they believe that's where they are, and they're wrong. And the Lord says, because of corruption, this is not going to happen. The apostate leadership of the house is not qualified. Behold, the Lord, like a strong man, will hurl thee away violently. Yea, he will wrap thee up closely. He will surely wind thee round and round and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there shall be the chariots of thy glory. Thou shame of thy Lord's house, and I will thrust thee from thine office, and from thy station shalt thou be pulled down. So God is going to take down the apostate leadership over God's people, over the house of God's people. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim. Well, meaning God will establish, or God rises. That both of those are pretty neat. In other words, the resurrected man-child is what he's talking about. And I say spiritual resurrection, not physical, but... And this is a type of the reformer leadership of the man-child ministry. Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, meaning Yah's portion, or Yahweh's portion. And I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, which is the bride. As you know, David was promoted over the bride, Jerusalem. He ruled over the rest of the people of God through this. And to the house of Judah. So he is a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. There you go. A confirmation. And he shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. Because these people will manifest the binding and loosing that Jesus gave to his apostles. And they will have authority over all the power of the enemy. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house. There it is, caught up to the throne. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, every small vessel, from the cups even to all the flagons. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place give way, and it shall be hewn down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off. The burden is cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. Well, I think this is like Christ, who was cut off through crucifixion, and the nails were there too, right? So he's just making a parallel here that the man-child ministry will die and be resurrected. Hence the name Arise, right? He will arise. Okay, well, Father, this is awesome and wonderful what we're seeing here. And it's very soon to be upon us. And a lot of other things are soon to be upon us, that the man-child is going to save his people from. There's going to be a lot of surprises. Nations are going to fall. And warfare is going to be a constant thing. And especially guerrilla warfare. And great destruction is coming. Great disease is coming. Great terrible things are coming. But just as Jesus came in a time when God's people were under the thumb of the Roman Empire, and there was a lot of sickness among them, so it is today. So it is today. History always repeats. So we know, Father, that you have caused all this to happen to bring many people into the kingdom. It's going to take a shock to get people out of the pit, so to speak, and free them from the idolatries that they have with religion, so to speak, and cause them to once again be disciples of Jesus Christ. They may have started out that way, but were quickly taken into these traps. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're going to open many eyes. You're going to multiply knowledge and wisdom through the man-child, and it's going to be confirmed by signs and wonders. And, of course, the Pharisees don't have any signs and wonders. All they have is a critical spirit. All they are is factious, but they have no signs and wonders because they're dead and because God does not confirm their word, and everything they do is self-works. And so it is with the other factions today. Self works, no power, apostasy, corruption, every form of fornication, theft, lying, slander, very corrupt. we're seeing today. And there's a great falling away of these people because they did not love righteousness and truth. And so, Father, we know that you're going to show, your people will be able to judge according to the fruit. And they'll discover, too, that they should never have departed from the Word of God, and that the people who don't depart from the Word of God are the people that grow up into your image. Oh, praise be to God. The Word is important. It is the seed of the Savior sown into the hearts of those that bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Well, all right, saints, God bless you and keep you. And hope you enjoyed this. I did. In Jesus' name, amen.